So can you believe it? It's been 7 weeks since the two Democratic presidential candidates had squared off on a debate stage. They did it again last night, but a lot can happen in 7 weeks. Gone were the warm greetings and the pull the chair out for Hillary kind of moments. They were replaced with tense looks and stilted handshakes. And Hillary Clinton at one point was pretty much pressured to admit that Barack Obama could beat GOP nominee John McCain in a general election. But in the latest debate last night in Philadelphia, sponsored by ABC News, the pressure was on the junior senator from Illinois. Barack Obama was forced to revisit the controversial remarks made by his former pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, as well as Obama's own recent gaffe about so-called bitter small-town voters who may, quote, cling to guns or religion. Here's how Obama tried to defuse that controversy last night.
The problem that we have in our politics, which is fairly typical, is that you take one person's statement, if it's not properly phrased, and you just beat it to death. And that's what Senator Clinton's been doing over the last 4 days.
Yeah, here's how Hillary responded.
It wasn't just me responding to them. It was people who heard them, people who felt as though they were aimed at their values, their quality of life, the decisions that they have made.
That was just one of the many issues on the table. Here to recap some highlights from last night's debate in Philadelphia and talk about the political implications is Richard Wolff, Newsweek's senior White House correspondent. Hey, Richard, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's my pleasure.
Good morning. So your overall impression, Richard, what was the tone of this debate compared to others?
Well, let me just say at the outset that I think this has been an extraordinary election with two historic candidates, and it's been enthralling and engrossing. But this debate was the lamest, tiredest, 90-minute waste of time I have had to sit through for a long time. I mean, it was an endurance test of boredom. And look, it's not to blame the candidates. I mean, although they played some very tired roles, you know, you had Hillary Clinton being the reluctant aggressor. Oh, this is going to hurt my fist so much to punch you in the face. But the Republicans are going to do it anyway, so I think I should. And then you had Barack Obama shocked and aggrieved that anyone would play politics. Because,
yeah.
I mean, who on earth would think anyone would play politics at this stage? But really, a collection of gaffes and lapses and flaps and campaign trivia like flag pins. I mean, the questions and the whole debate were a waste of time. I'm sorry.
Wow. I'm going to ask you to revisit that. We'll discuss.
We can talk to you about your cookbook instead, if you really, I mean, I don't know. Richard co-wrote a really nice cookbook.
You know, it's been so...
Let me tell you what I really think.
I do want to talk a little bit about those pressure points. One of the most heated moments, if there was any kind of drama in this, it came when the co-moderator, ABC's George Stephanopoulos, asked Barack Obama about his relationship with a former member of a 1970s radical anti-war group. It was called the Weather Underground in Chicago. And then Clinton used it as a chance to remind voters that, yes, she's been through the gauntlet before and she's been vetted and Obama hasn't. Let's take a listen to that exchange.
I have, you know, an opportunity to come to this campaign with a very strong conviction and feeling that I will be able to withstand whatever the Republicans send our way.
But I'm going to have to respond to this just really quickly. But by Senator Clinton's own vetting standards, I don't think she would make it, since President Clinton pardoned or commuted the sentences of two members of the Weather Underground, which I think is a slightly more significant act than me, than me serving on a board with somebody for actions that he did 40 years ago.
This did seem to come out of nowhere, Richard.
Oh, no, it's been brewing for a long time. People have been talking about this for a while. It hasn't aired in all of the 21 debates that we've had so far. It did, obviously, last night. And look, to call it a relationship because the guy showed up in his apartment is a stretch. I mean, I have showed up in many people's apartments. I can't always remember how much I've had to drink, and it's a stretch, which is what happens when you get to 21 debates. And on the other side, you know, you have Hillary Clinton saying she's been vetted. Yes, she has. She says she has a lot of baggage, and people have rummaged through them. The problem is, the candidates and and I hate to say this too, but the political press, we still enjoy ravaging baggage. So that's why we end up having debates like this.
You referenced this earlier, but Obama did appear, he just seemed annoyed. He was exasperated. But really, what can he expect at this point?
No, nothing. It's not. They're all locked into this. That you can't at this stage reasonably say to any of the states that have not yet voted, you do not have the right to participate. But I think what we can do is try and find a way to illuminate the discussion. Again, two historic candidates, an incredible race, huge issues facing the country, 80% of the country thinks it's on the wrong track, and we're talking about flag pins and stories that have been exaggerated. I mean,
was it the moderator's fault? Was it the way the debate was set up?
Well,
who's to blame? You criticized this as one of the least engrossing, the biggest waste of time.
I think you used the word lame.
Yes, I used the word lame.
Was it the questions?
I'm a diplomat, really.
Was it the questions that were being asked?
They took a commercial break after 2 minutes, which to me was a sign that this was more of a commercial enterprise than anything else. And look, they took the decision to put it on network, so that's a big deal. Obviously, there are pressures there, but I thought the questions were badly framed. They were rehashing the last several weeks of a campaign that have already been intensively discussed, debated, addressed by the candidates. So I think the questions were a problem. And any time you have a debate which kicks off each segment reading from a clause of the Constitution, you know you're in trouble.
So then where do we stand as voters? Did we glean anything new from this? And if we didn't, what does that mean for the Democratic candidates in the general?
I think they said everything they can about each other. Honestly, I think there's a desire by the candidates, by the campaigns, and I suspect among Democratic voters to engage with the Republican nominee on the bigger debates. Because these two candidates are so closely aligned, really, on most things, you're left with the tiny slivers of these gaffes and slips and issues of character. And they have been thoroughly, amply, fully aired and discussed. And there's really almost nothing you can do in this debate format that will change that. It's time for them to actually engage with McCain.
Richard Rolfe, senior White House correspondent for Newsweek. Hey, Richard, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.